Welcome to the weekly teaching program from Finally Alive Ministries with pastor and counselor, Gary Aris. Gary is a full-time pastoral counselor and teacher of God's Word. He has a remarkably deep passion to see people set free in Christ. You may call our prayer line at 657-246-2464 or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. That's prayer@finallyalive.com. Now, let's join Gary as he shares some amazing truth from God's counsel in this week's teaching.
Hello and welcome to the show. You're listening to Finally Alive Radio. I'm your host, Gary Aris, your very own Christian counselor. So I want to read to you an email I received not too long ago here by a gentleman named David Vandergreent. And David is from the Netherlands. And he sent a pretty powerful email here, and I think it's worth sharing. So David says, I listened to the podcast and I was very encouraged by the story at the end of episode 10 from the lady who had to endure a terrible ordeal at the birth of her child. I thought I might also encourage others if I shared a little bit about my own story and how it relates to trusting in God and enduring hardships. I'm now happily married for over 5 years, and about halfway into our second year of marriage, we prayed to God for a child. In the following year, we had a miscarriage. We prayed for comfort in our sadness, and that God would hear our plea and grant us a child. We also know that we do not deserve anything from God. He does not owe us anything. Very well said, David. And I'll pause here just for a second. David, you're so right about what you just said. God owes us nothing. We truly don't deserve anything. The truth of the matter is we owe God. We owe God everything. And that He gives us anything is quite honestly privileges. And thank God for that. He goes on, He doesn't owe us anything, but we prayed that because He is good. He might give us that which we do not deserve. In the same year, we had another miscarriage. And again, we prayed that God would comfort us in our grief. And again, we prayed that we might have a child. And at the end of the year, we had another miscarriage. That makes it three. And we were heartbroken. And again, asked God to be with us and that He would fill us with His Holy Spirit, who's also called the Comforter. What an appropriate name there, huh? This time we wondered if it might be His will that we not have children and that there was another purpose we should fulfill in God's kingdom. And I think this cuts to the heart of the matter. That is, in our case, it was not fear that would challenge our faith, but sadness, which so easily can lead to disappointment. But we reminded ourselves that God does not owe a quote-unquote good life, or what we would consider to be so, but we owe Him our lives, whatever He would make of this. Wow, David, how powerful. And such true words. For us, this means that a quote-unquote happy ending does not mean that God gives us what we want, but that we can rest with all our emotions as they are in the embrace of God and ask Him to do His will, not ours. And that is comforting, if you allow it to be. I must also mention that a year later, after three failed attempts, we welcomed our son into the world. And 2 years later, a daughter. We are so thankful to God for giving us what we did not deserve. And I want to stress that when we were grieving over three lost babies, that God was not less good or unjust, and that we had to trust that His will be done. Even if that means that we could not have what we wanted, how normal or justified we might think that that is. My belief is so firmly rooted in this, that no matter the circumstances of my life, in any moment, God is good, just, trustworthy, and faithful beyond anything we can return to Him. My thoughts on episode 10 about faith and fear, he says, it's natural to fear. Danger, pain, and loss, and all that can damage or scar us because of what we are, human, as you said during the episode. but it is our strength as Christians that we can trust our God with our lives because of what He is. David says, I hope this is of encouragement to you and all who may hear. Thank you for sharing your views on issues of belief in Christian psychology and encouraging me and others by doing so. Sincerely, David Vandergreen. David, I am so moved by this story, by what you went through. And I'm not God. I can't tell you why you went through 3 miscarriages in a row. And again, me having 2 children, I feel for you. I mean, that is a scary thought. And you're so vulnerable, you know, in that moment when, in my case, when my wife was pregnant, you're so vulnerable to anything, you know, hearing bad news, hearing that there might be complications is already scary enough. But to go through actual miscarriages, and I'm sure you as a listener too, many of you listeners may have gone through miscarriages. But David, I'm so happy that you shared this story with us, because at minimum, it becomes a testimony that though we live in this broken world, horrible things are going to happen to us. Ugly, disgusting things will happen to people. Things that we feel like, quite honestly, they are not deserved. But David, your testimony here moves me and is truly an encouragement to me, and I know the other listeners, because what you've gone through and now coming out on the other side of this makes you faithful. This is what a good and faithful servant, according to the Bible, is. No matter how ugly it gets, you still trust God. Listen to me carefully, my friends. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. How ugly it is does not matter. God is bigger than all of the horrible things that you've gone through. We cannot use anything as an excuse to hinder our walk. I'm not saying we can't be weak. I'm not saying, like David said, he felt discouraged and disappointed. That's normal. To falter in your walk or in your faith, that's normal. To sometimes feel doubt, listen to me, that's normal. Experience your emotions, but do not turn your back on God. David, your story is a testimony to the rest of us to stay faithful and to stay strong, to believe in God, to trust God no matter what. And praise God, I think God has rewarded you for your and your wife's faith with 2 wonderful children. I hope they're well and they're healthy, and we will keep them in prayer, of course. And you, the listener, you also pray for David. Let's pray for each other. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. This is our responsibility as Christians. David, thank you for your story, and God bless you and your family. To everyone else who's listening, I want your emails. I want your testimonies. I want your comments. I want your thoughts. I want to read them on the air, just like this one. The email is radio@finallyalive.com. Again, that's radio@finallyalive.com. I'll be more than happy to read it on the air. And thousands will hear this. So again, David, thank you.
Would you like to download this episode for free? Now you can. finallyaliveradio.com has every episode ready for download absolutely free. Visit us at finallyaliveradio.com. That's finallyaliveradio.com.
So continuing on from our topic from last week, speaking about marriage, and that it is still relevant and important. And though we walk in faith, I also like to see and hear stories, facts, proof, evidence, because there will be evidence of what God does, and His word is true. That said, I found a report called the World Family Map 2017, Mapping Family Change and Child Well-Being Outcomes. It's co-sponsored by the Institute for Family Studies. I want to read through some of the report here because, again, it just goes to show, based on what we said in our last show, how important marriage is. You know, if you think about it, what does it take to have a strong nation? Is it the policies, the government, the economy? Those are all important. But to have a strong economy, we have to have strong people. How do you have strong people? No, I'm not talking about physical. Physical is nice. That's good. That's great. That's just one aspect. You have strong people by having a sound philosophy. What is a sound philosophy? A sound philosophy is a tried and true way of living. See, it isn't just God's word, his commandments, his direction, the Bible, the Torah that we have. It's also that it's tried and true. You know, we as Christians, we live under grace. We don't live under the Ten Commandments or any of the Old Testament laws, because Jesus came and fulfilled the law, just as he said in the book of Matthew. He came to fulfill the law, and he did that. So because he fulfilled the law, we don't live under the law, like the Ten Commandments and the other 613 Old Testament commandments. But I highly recommend that you at least read through them, because you're going to understand a philosophy, a mindset, that actually works perfectly. Some of the things may not apply today because we don't live in the ancient world and maybe we've surpassed, like, for example, eating certain types of fish or eating pork. Well, back then, you know, that made sense because they didn't have the medicine that we have today. And even more importantly than that, Peter actually in the New Testament gets a vision, and the vision goes that he sees a whole bunch of animals. Clean and not clean animals is the way it would be said. God telling him, eat. And Peter says, not so. I won't eat anything unclean. And God says, don't call what I've made unclean. Meaning that law no longer applies. And again, scientifically, we have the medicine now. We don't get sick from things like that. And if we do get sick, we do have cures to help us get better and heal. But all that said, again, I love to see the proof, and here's some proof from this report. It says here, in Europe and the United States, the study finds that children born to cohabiting and especially single parents experience higher levels of family instability in the first 12 years of their lives, relying on data from the Harmonized Histories database. The way you have a strong country, my friend, like I said, is to have strong, sound philosophy. Sound philosophy. Part of sound philosophy and part of having a strong nation is to have strong families. It seems as though that is no longer of importance, at least here in America. And not only is that a sad thing, it's a bad thing. You know, divorce rates are through the roof. Families split up. All sorts of things. That actually creates weakness in our country. And if you think about it, if families become weak, we will have to create new types of families. Eventually, the new family, if you will be government, where it'll no longer be families taking care of each other, but rather government taking care of you. That is not good, because that means now our faith, now our bread, if you will, comes from government. That isn't good. You know, the big thing across the entire Bible, you don't trust anyone like you trust God. Of course, you can trust your family, you can trust people, you can trust government. I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm saying you don't trust anything as much as you trust God. we put our faith in God. That doesn't mean we become lazy and don't do anything now, saying, oh, I trust God and God's going to just provide. No, I trust God that he's going to help me with the gifts that he's given me. But here you go. Here is proof that God's way is the right way. Marriage. Family. Strong families. See, I'm even going to say this. Family has to be more important than work. And some will disagree with this. Well, without work, we don't have money. And if we don't have money, then how am I going to keep my family? Good point. But it's very easy to neglect the family because we're so worried about having money. Again, I'm not saying work is bad. In fact, the last show, I was encouraging the guys to work and to provide for your family. That is a piece, a thread of being a family man. It cannot be everything, though. Children need their parents. They need both. Children get stability from dad. They get their security from dad. So dads, you need to be aware of what you're doing and what you're saying around your kids. Mothers bring the comfort, the nurturing aspect. The child falls, mom's typically the one who brings the Band-Aids. Again, just an analogy. Dads can bring the Band-Aids too. Dads tend to be the one who say, get up, walk it off. It's teaching you strength to be strong. Mom's the one who's cleaning up the blood and the scrapes. We need both. You can't have one without the other. This is what makes a balanced person, a mother and a father. And look, I'm rabbit trailing, I know. But what do you do in a case where you don't have a mother or you don't have a father? Maybe they passed away or something happened or a divorce happened. The system can still work just fine. In those cases, you would need a father figure or a mother figure. It's not the same. But if a child can get the stability from a father figure, it could be an uncle, it could be a grandparent, it could be a family friend. It could be someone from church, it could be the pastor. Those are all fine. But I highly encourage those who don't have a father or a mother to seek out. God will provide, and in fact, pray for it. You know, Lord, provide for me, you know, a father figure or a mother figure. These are important. You need to experience these things. Because there's something within us that needs to be fulfilled. And we do need to experience that. And we're not going to find perfect people, and they're not going to be perfect father or mothers. But just the model. We need to see a model. If we can see a model, at least we have something to repeat when we are in those shoes. Anyway, I digress. But again, back to the report telling us how the instability is higher in cohabiting or single parents. Isn't it interesting that single parents and cohabiting parents, meaning a couple who is not married, have a similar risk? Really think about that. What is it about getting married, making it official, that makes it different than just cohabiting? I mean, it looks the same, doesn't it? I mean, you live together, you're probably doing the same things. Well, biblically speaking, I'm going to say this. When you're cohabiting, when you're just living together, we call it shacking up. When you're just shacking up, you've got to realize there's no spiritual covenant. In the Bible, one of the most important things are covenants. A covenant is similar to a contract. It's not exactly the same thing, but very similar. In the sense that if I do this, you will do that. See, it's like a contract. But everything that God has done is a covenant. He says it, it will happen. That's a covenant. You know, Genesis 1, you know, he creates the trees, for example. The idea is really that God is saying, hey, trees, start treeing. I know that's not a word, but it's that idea. It's creating a covenant. God said, let there be light, and then there was light. The idea, again, with that covenant is lights exist or be, and then there was light. His word always happens. That's what's amazing about God is he says it and it happens. I wish I had more friends like God when they say what they're going to do and it actually happens. It's, you know, anyway, but it's a covenant. In fact, the Old Testament really is the old covenant. The New Testament is the new covenant. You and I are under a new covenant, a new contract, if you will, that says the Old Testament, the old covenant is fulfilled now. Not the way the old covenant wanted to be, but now we have a new covenant. Here's a new covenant. Old covenant has been fulfilled in this man, Jesus Christ. And if you believe in him, the old covenant is fulfilled. That was the issue. You and I could not fulfill the old covenant. We needed a redeemer. We needed a savior. We needed someone to take us out from under the curse of that old covenant that we could not fulfill. Marriage is similar. It's a covenant. It's a type of promise, if you will. How else does life work without promises? What is a promise? It's a type of hope. It builds trust. Do you see? Just to think of the words promise, hope, trust. Those thoughts are so comforting, aren't they? That's what's supposed to be in our marriage. There's comfort in that. What is God? He's given us a promise. He's faithful. He's just. He's trustworthy. He's proven time and time again his word. There's comfort in that. Oh, by the way, yeah. Jesus says, I'm sending you the comforter. Marriage has that same element. There's a binding that happens. And we've added in our ceremonies, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That's a covenant. Those aren't just words just to say, just to be cute. You've got to understand the depths of those words. They're not easy words. It's one of the hardest covenants that if you get married, we'll have to abide by. Because it means that you're going to do things sometimes that you don't want to do, or you don't feel like doing, or it annoys you, or you're sick of it, or I'm just tired of doing these things. For richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. The covenant says you stick with it. That is what cohabitating lacks. A spiritual covenant between you, your spouse, and God. It says research from the United States shows that most children born to single parents are drawn into cohabiting or marital relationships while they are growing up, and relationships formed after the birth of a child are less stable, even if the biological parents partner. This is in part because couples who commit to one another before having a biological child usually have a deeper commitment than those who partner in the wake of getting pregnant. My friends, these are all studies that are being proven out right before our eyes. If you're not married and you're seeking to get married, it's very important that you don't have children before you're actually married. You know, I tell people in premarital counseling, you know, now is your chance to really test this other person out. You know, it could be very uncomfortable to split up, you know, in the premarital stay. You know, usually people are engaged and they just want to kind of come in and they think it's cute, but I get to be the one to give them, you know, the harsh truth that this is your chance to break up. And then some of them don't like to hear that, but that's what premarital counseling is all about. I need to put all the weight I can on you guys to see is this a right fit? That's why you're here. I know that may not be the reason why most people come, but I would prefer that a couple break up before they get married. Because again, look at these stats. Because if you get married and have a child or children and then get divorced, you're putting a kink in the chain. We are then, as a nation, contributing to becoming weaker. And to those, look, who have divorced, you know, and who have children, this isn't a word to hurt you or anything of that sort. But let's just realize these are the facts. You have been forgiven by God. Don't forget that, okay? You've been forgiven. And for some people, this may be the first time you're hearing this. It might be a shock to you. It's okay. Okay, God has forgiven you. All you can do is do your best from now on. So if you're going to choose a partner, learn from your mistakes and choose wisely. And here's the hard part. This is the hardest part in typically in premarital counseling or any type of counseling that I do. I tell people, you need to figure out what you did wrong. Even in cases where the other spouse was abusive. You know, that's easy. Oh, well, see, they were abusive. That's why I had to leave. Well, true. But you've also got to realize, what were you doing wrong? You know, the other partner cheated. You know, that makes them wrong. True. You're right. But what did you do wrong? It's the hardest question to answer. Because you've got to look within yourself and see, where did you go wrong? I'll give you an example. Many times, in abusive relationships, the one who is being abused stays too long. They stay beyond a healthy boundary. Again, we're talking about extremes, right? Abuse, adultery. You know, these things can be repaired, but both parties need to be willing and open for repairing the relationship. But look, if you're in a state where you are divorced now, and this is after the fact, you know, I'm not here to discourage you. Take these words and learn from it. Learn from your mistakes. Again, look within and see, what did you do incorrectly? What did you do wrong? What can you do better the next time around? Maybe you're in a relationship now. You know, I hate to say, it's not uncommon for people to get divorced two or three times here. I don't even like saying that, but it's the truth. If that's the case, you need to begin to examine. You need to go to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, reveal to me, what am I not seeing? What am I doing wrong? I'll give you a big hint. If you've been divorced, you know, two or three times, I would question how you're picking that person. What qualities are you looking at, and what qualities are you blinded to? You know, do they have something in common? Did spouse one have something in common with spouse two? Usually they do. Not always, but usually they do. Again, I'm giving you a really tough one today, guys. I know I'm really, you know, putting a lot of weight on this one, but it is for the greater good. I mean, would you rather me just sugarcoat it? I guess I could. But I don't think you'll appreciate me sugarcoating it, because I'm sugarcoating it. So I don't want to do that. Again, I say these things all for the greater good. You know, I can't take the truth and, using a biblical analogy, and put it under a bushel. Okay, I've got to let this light shine, because it is truth. Look, speak to people who have been married for a long time. Don't talk to your single friends and get marriage advice from a single friend. It's not a good source. Doesn't mean they're bad people. They're just not a good source for this topic. Talk to someone who's been married 5+, 10+ years. The longer the better, because you're going to get a lot more information that way. Look, you want the real deal. Learn as much as you can about that. But let that be your model. Marriages that have lasted. You know, how do they do it? What's their secret? It's not a secret, but they usually have a couple of things that they're doing that works well. But again, it's a model. Research from the United States further shows that children born to cohabiting parents also face an elevated risk of family instability, relative to children born to married parents because cohabitation is less stable than marriage, even when children are present. Again, more proof, just do it God's way. But notice this, there's going to be an interesting ranking, I guess we could say. So let me read this. It says, children who start out living with both their biological parents might still have more stable family lives than children born to single mothers, because initial transitions among lone parents might be motivated by a desire to be in union. So I guess if we had to rank it, the best bet, statistically, is going to be a married couple, and then a cohabiting couple. Again, not the ideal situation, but still, unfortunately, better than a single parent. Does that mean if you're a single parent that your child is not going to be stable and they're going to be completely messed up and it's ruined? Not necessarily. So I want to keep pausing and reminding you that you're not hopeless, and there are a lot of tough situations, and I've seen them. Again, what you do for your kids is you do your best to have good role models, from family to friends to church friends to whoever else. Have good role models. Have good families as best as you can around them. If you don't know where they are, go to church. Go to different churches. The kids need to see stability. They need to see and know what that is, which also means you need to find stability. It's difficult. A breakup is always difficult. But you trust God. You get the help that you need for your sake and also for your kids' sake. So again, nothing is ever hopeless. Remember, everything in life always has an answer, okay? You just have to be willing to wait it out, to pray it out, and to be willing to open your eyes and see, Lord, what is the answer? So no, I don't believe that there are hopeless cases, no. The research from the United States leads us to believe that partnership context at birth typically matters for children because that context is related to the stability of the parental union. In a nutshell, the more stability you as the parents are, the more likely your child will be stable. So it isn't just going to be that you're married, it's also going to be stability. Remember, like we said, those who have created a covenant that they actually believe in by getting married and actually do it and practice it has a higher likelihood of creating stability. So again, we do have to realize, I mean, reading the rest of the study, it tells you a lot of interesting things. It gives you graphs. Again, you can go to finallyaliveradio.com and see and actually download the PDF, and you can read it all yourself. I'm obviously not going to have the time to read all of it here because it's like 64 pages. So, but there it is. You can get it for free right on finallyaliveradio.com. But you're going to see there that the U.S. and across Europe, cohabiting parents are going to be almost twice as likely to split up compared to a married couple. So again, there are the stats. There they are right there. Even more interesting things it also talks about is the myth that if you come from a rich household, a higher income household, yeah, the likelihood of the couple splitting up is lower. And it actually breaks through that myth. It actually shows, and it gives you the graphs. It's amazing. In a lot of countries that they studied, the highly educated who were cohabiting were actually less stable. So how about that? And it's all in the study. It's all right there. So yeah, as you can see, right back to what we keep saying, this is a spiritual battle. Money is not going to help your situation. Your education is not going to help your situation. I love how Paul says it. He says, I count all things as dung, as waste, as nothing compared to Christ, compared to God. Your spiritual life has to be stable. And that's nothing that anyone else can do. That is between you and God. And what do? You got to go to church. You have to go to church. You've got to get that right. You can't keep putting this off. You know, you can be smart, that's wonderful, but that doesn't help your chances. You can be rich, that's great, it doesn't help your chances. It's right here, black and white, all in the study, right there. This is not a Christian study. Get right with God. So interestingly enough, the lowest educated married couples actually had a better rate of staying together than the highly educated. I wonder if that's, again, another Paul saying here. He says, knowledge puffs up. There's almost like a show-off-ness, if I could say it that way, when we know a lot. So, I don't know. That's just a thought there off the top of my head. But it could be there. There could be some arrogance because of education or degrees or things like that. And it, again, I like what Paul says. I count it all as dung. I consider it all a waste, a nothing compared to Christ and the grace of God. You know, another myth that was debunked in this report, and I think this is a pretty good argument. What if in a country, cohabitation, not getting married, shacking up, was more common? Well, because it's more common, wouldn't that create stability? Because, I mean, I guess in that sense, it kind of looks like marriage. It's almost the same thing. And yeah, everyone's doing it. This report shows that that's not true. So even if it looks common or normal, and I would even say, you know, the U.S. is starting to look like that, where, shacking up or divorce, it's a normal thing. That doesn't necessarily mean we're going in a better direction. The report shows the family instability increased. My friends, when we stray away from God's ways, we're going to see the negative outcome. It's as simple as that. The proof is right here. Have faith in God and His ways. All because something doesn't make sense doesn't mean God isn't there, or He doesn't care, or we just throw it all away. Hang on. That's what faith is. You hang on. Eventually it begins to make sense. Why? Because you start to mature. It's not God who gives you the message late. It's you who have to catch up to God. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. You and I are limited. We don't know everything. But guess what? God will bring people in our lives to help us understand what we need to understand and where we're lacking. It's a very important piece. We need to know where we're lacking and work on those weaknesses. You know, as the Bible says, we're being perfected. We're never going to be perfect on this earth, but we're being perfected. And that's what we strive for. The grace of Jesus Christ is number one. We need to be saved. We need to believe in Christ and what He did. If you believe in Christ, that is literally your ticket to a connection back to God. And if you have your connection back with God, He will begin to clean. He will begin to perfect you. He will begin to strengthen you and mature you. And I don't care how old you are, young or old, we all need to be matured. You know, learning never stops. Maturing never stops. Growing never stops. It never ends because we're so limited. I hope that's a word of encouragement to you. And I'll quote this part. It says, on average, marriage is associated with more family stability for children across the globe, even in countries where it is in retreat. There's something about marriage. It's common sense. I don't think there's a mystery here. Marriage creates stability. There's comfort in it. Cohabiting, there's always that thought, what if? What if they leave? I mean, of course, that's their marriage too, but something about the covenant makes that anxiety a lot less. Stability. God has given us the formula for stability. It's right there. It's amazing what marriage and stability does. Did you know that children who come out of, I'll say, healthy married homes with married parents, generally healthy and not abusive, they're less likely to be physically, sexually, emotionally abused. They're less likely to be aggressive. They're less likely to have any kind of substance abuse issues, less likely to do criminal activities, less likely to be poor, more likely to actually better health. If you create stability in your home, your children will mimic that. But you have to teach them these things too, as a parent. Maybe you've gone through horrible things while you were married. And perhaps now you don't believe in marriage. I've seen cases like that. To you, I would say this, is that old saying, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You can't throw it all out. Marriage itself is a great thing. People are the issue. Marriage works. It's us who don't. So don't give up on marriage, but maybe put some more effort into yourself. Understand what you're not understanding. Seek, and you shall find, is what Jesus says. Are you truly seeking, or are you just blaming and complaining? Anyone can do that. Rather than blaming and complaining, you start to learn what you need to learn and understand what you need to understand. You need to grow. You need to be challenged. Your thoughts need to be challenged. Now, I've said this before, your relationships cannot stand on feelings. Again, feelings and emotions are all a part of it, but they cannot be the foundational part. It has to be on stable things. Number one, are they a believer? That's a huge part. I'm not saying if you're not with a believer that that's a bad marriage or it's gonna be a bad marriage. No, it might be a great marriage. But obviously, having a believer should make things a little bit easier. Only based because, you know, you will have similar beliefs, and that's going to be a lot easier when you have kids too. Again, that's not a guarantee, but both of you guys being of the same religion helps a ton. Does that spouse bring something to the table? That's always my rule. What does the other person bring to the table? It cannot be looks. It cannot be he's cute, she's cute. It can't just be that they make me feel good. It can't just be, oh, I get this feeling when I'm with them. It cannot be that. Those are good things, but they're all feelings based. It's got to be a lot more stable things. Ladies, you've got to find that man who's going to be stable. Who isn't jumping from job to job to job to job to job. Stability. Fellas, is she willing to be led, again, in a healthy way, not in a weird, abusive way? Is she willing to listen to you as the head of the household as you follow Christ, sir? I like how it says it in Proverbs, and I'll give you the verse, Proverbs 21:19. It says, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. Oh, man. That's straight from the Bible, okay? Don't get mad at the messenger, all right? You go get mad at the Bible, okay? But such true words. And that doesn't mean, ladies, that you can't have a concern about something, but there's something about being quarrelsome and a nagging or a complaining person. Again, you can never find someone who's perfect. We're not looking for perfection, but if she's going to have those qualities, the truth is it's going to be very difficult to live with that. And ladies, you've got to really go to the Lord about this. And if you have that issue, because men, we have our own issues, all right? But ladies, just for the sake of, for the topic here, you've got to be aware of this. You know, being quarrelsome. I'll give you some different words here. Quarrelsome, nagging, contentious, vexing, an angry woman, a hot-tempered woman, an irritable woman, easily provoked, fretful. Yeah, I think that's enough. These are going to complicate the marriage. Again, I'm not saying that women cannot have an opinion. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, quite the opposite. Ladies, you are the guide of the house. But if you're the guide, he must be the leader. Again, this is all according to the Bible. It's very much like how Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. Hopefully, fellas, that is your heart also. That she follows you as you follow Christ. So notice there's an order here. There's a hierarchy. Again, if you want to download the report, you can go to finallyaliveradio.com. This show is called This Is Why Marriage Is Actually Valuable, Part 2. Click on the show. You can download it all there. It's all for free. And send me your thoughts, your comments, your questions. I'd love to hear what's on your mind and what you think of the show. Until next time, my friend, God bless you.
Thank you again for joining us on this week's program with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris of Finally Alive Ministries. We pray that if God has touched your heart with any part of today's teaching, you would respond and move into the healing that God has for you. Visit us at finallyalive.com. There, you can download this episode for free, email your concerns, questions, or share a story of how God is using this teaching to help you grow in Christ and His freedom. If you'd like to call our prayer line, you may do so at 657-246-2464. That's 657-246-2464. Or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. We will meet you again next week at this same time when we look at God's Word with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris and learn how to finally be alive in Christ.